Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you. And thank you, Peter. You overpraise, and I don't deserve it. And today I'd like to share with you from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And this is concerning the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is temptation? Temptation, in a spiritual sense, is the inclination to sin. In an overall sense, temptation is a desire to engage in short-term urges for enjoyment that threatens long-term goals. Think of it. A young person may really like playing video games or watch TV instead of studying or doing your homework. And that is a temptation to sin, or a temptation that will threaten your long-term goals of being something that you wanted to be. And temptation is something that we struggle against and again in our lives. Even Jesus had to face temptation, just like the rest of us. So in Matthew chapter 4, we can see the temptation that Jesus, it described the encounter between Satan and Jesus. And first, the first thing Satan did was to challenge Jesus' humanness. So if we look at verses 1 to 4, it reads, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So Jesus was led to the desert, or the wilderness, where it's hot, dry, and desolate. An Israeli general said he really admired Jesus, because if anybody else was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, he would have turned into a crispy critter. Well, after being alone 40 days and nights without food, Jesus is hungry and physically weak. That was when Satan appeared to him, taunting him to use his divine power to meet a human physical need. Could Jesus turn stones into bread? Of course he could. If he couldn't, it wouldn't be a temptation. So why did Jesus not give into Satan's taunt? Well, he came to earth to be totally human. If he uses godly power to satisfy his physical need, he then wouldn't be human like you and me. So he answers Satan. He says, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man is not to live only on the physical level, but also on the physical plane as well. Animals only live to satisfy their physical needs and urges, but we are not to do that. We are to live by listening and to have a close relationship with God. When Jesus was ministering on earth, he was often tired and exhausted. He faced setbacks, rejections, hostility, and betrayal. God the Father wanted him to experience we humans experience in this life. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he was without sin." Jesus knows and understands each and every one of us. He can sympathize with us. When on earth, Jesus lived not only by bread alone, but on every word that came from God, his heavenly Father. So when does temptation come to us? It can come at any time. But Satan especially likes to tempt us when we are most vulnerable. That is when we are physically weak, emotionally fragile, or lonely without accountability. Even though we are to live on the spiritual level, we are still in our earthly bodies, and the flesh is weak. Through the media, we are often bombarded with to believe that anything goes. If it gives you pleasure, go for it. Or it says, it's okay, so it may be wrong. But God will forgive you. It's true. God does want us to have a good time. But he wants us to enjoy ourselves without regrets. It is also true, if there's real repentance, God will forgive. But if we sin deliberately and presume that God will forgive us, we will be on dangerous grounds. We reap what we sow. There are consequences in what we do. If Satan defeats us morally, then spiritually, he has also defeated us. Our lives are to be guided by the Word of God, not by other voices. So we must guard our hearts. The second thing that Satan did was daring Jesus to test God. And that in verses 5-7. And it reads, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." So here, Satan dared Jesus to throw himself down from the highest point of the temple. He was attempting to get Jesus to provoke God the Father to do something that was not according to plan. Jesus' mission on earth was to redeem mankind, not to play foolish games. Also, Satan quoted scripture out of context and inaccurately. He quoted from Psalms 91, verses 11-12, but he left out a very important phrase there in the verse 11. Verses 11-12 should read, "He who commands his angels according you," "He will command his angel concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." meaning angels will protect Jesus as he goes on the path which God set for him, not in doing foolish things. Jesus answered Satan, his answer was, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We have to read scripture carefully so that we don't misquote and misunderstand God's word. Do we test God? When we sin deliberately, we are really testing God. We're essentially saying to God, okay, I crossed the line. What are you going to do about it? Actually, the point is not what God is going to do about it, is what sin will do to you. God has set out boundaries for us so that we don't hurt ourselves. So when we sin, we're actually hurting ourselves. So we also test God. When we do things that may not be sinful, but are not in God's will. Like when we reluctantly obey the law, but test to the limit to see how far we can go. Or when we do foolish and dumb things. In my younger days, I used to drive fast and furiously. In fact, at one point in my life, I collected so many traffic tickets that I couldn't get insurance. But fortunately, I had a buddy in middle school who became an agent for AAA, and he was able to persuade his manager to take me on. The worst thing that happened to me was one night, I was careening around a mountain and I lost control of the VW van that I was driving. You know, VW van in those days, the engine is in the back, and so it's heavy in the back and light in the front. So when you turn very quickly, you know, you swing the back out, and so you lose control. And that's what I did, I lost control. And the van broke the barrier and plunged down a mountainside. And when the van landed on the passenger side, it was held up by a tree, and the door sprung open, and it was the days before seatbelts. And Elaine's head backed against the windshield and cracked it, and his head was really bleeding profusely. And I said to myself, oh, what have I done? You know, we weren't married yet, you know, so it was bad, you know. And but thank God, you know, she turned out okay. I think she was okay. If you look carefully at her, you may still see the scar on her forehead. And really, if it weren't for God's grace, she could have been damaged permanently, you know, being an idiot. But she was okay. The point is, we are to live in the center of God's will and not on the edge of God's grace. And we are not to put God to the test, or else we are going to harm people we love or self-destruct. And the third thing that Satan did was tempting Jesus to take shortcut. And this is in verses 8 to 11. And verse 8 says, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. all this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The question is, can Satan really have given the Lord Jesus all the kingdoms of the world? Yes. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 also says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So according to what the Bible says, the whole world, apart from believers in Christ, is temporarily under the control of Satan. So what is this temptation to Jesus? Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. The day will come in the future, no matter what people believe him or not. As Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Satan is offering Jesus a shortcut. He's saying, I give you the kingdoms right now. You don't have to wait. To Jesus, this would be an easy way out. He doesn't have to go to the cross. He doesn't have to suffer the humiliation, the agony, and death. Jesus could avoid all this. All he had to do is to bow down and worship the devil. But what would be the consequences? First, the whole purpose of Jesus' incarnation of coming on earth would be completely nullified. The reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work, not to submit to the devil. And second, the hope of salvation is snuffed out, because if there's no going to the cross, there is no redemption. And third, we would all die in our sins regardless of what we do. Jesus said to the devil, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. After that, the devil left him and angels came and served him. Jesus endured the cross, even though in his flesh he would prefer not to. That is why near the end of his life on earth, he prayed to God, Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. The main point of the devil testing Jesus was to deter him from reaching the goal that God has sent him to complete. Satan tempted Jesus to look at his present circumstances instead of keeping his eyes on the goal. The devil first enticed Jesus to satisfy his physical needs outside of God's will, and then he appealed to Jesus' ego to assert his divine nature. And finally, he baited the Lord to take a shortcut instead of going to the cross. Jesus was triumphant against all the schemes of the devil. So for us, God wants us to be holy because He is holy. There is no shortcut. Living a life of purity and holiness, it is living every day in the presence of God and no hiding in the shadows. So how do we resist temptations? Notice, every time Jesus countered Satan, He began by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." It shows how important Scripture was to Jesus. God's Word is our essential weapon in resisting temptation. The Bible is our instruction manual in life. Psalms 119, verses 105 and 106 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous ways." Do you know that baptism is an oath, a commitment that we make to follow Jesus? We cannot follow Him without obeying God's word. And in following God's word, following Jesus, we have to overcome temptations. So how do we resist temptations? The general way to deal with Satan's schemes is to resist him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." What does it mean to submit to God? It means to be under God's command. And by His grace, we obey and do what the Word of God says. Then when we actively oppose Satan and not give him a foothold in our lives, he will run away from us. So how does Satan tempt us then? He may use your friends to persuade you to do things that may not be wrong but are not right. So we need to stand firm in the center of God's will and not dawdle on the fringe of it. And then there are temptations we are to run away from. The major one is the temptation of the flesh. And this is our fleshly appetites and our emotional needs. The flesh is weak, easy to be manipulated by Satan. Psalm 109, verse 37 says, "Keep my eyes from looking at worthless things." The gateway to our mind is through our eyes. So we are to keep away from looking at things that are spiritually unhealthy for us, like pornography. And the internet is a great temptation. So keep your eyes away from things that turns you away from God. And also, do not allow yourself to be in a situation that may cause you to violate God's commands or to dishonor yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2:22 and says, flee the devil's desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So be careful of the friends that you hang out with. They have a lot of influence on you, more than you realize. So hang around with believers more than with other friends. The Bible says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside the body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and that you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The Bible says things better than anyone else can say. And the second thing to run away from is from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. So what is idolatry? Idolatry is anything that replaces the one true God. Idolatry is the excess devotion to a thing or to a person. There are many idols in this world, but the biggest idols for many people is money. I have heard people say, money is the most important thing in life. First Timothy chapter 6, 9 to 11 tells us, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So we are not to love money, but to use money for the glory of God. So we can see Satan's schemes of temptation was to deter Jesus from going to the cross to accomplish the redemption of mankind. What then is his aim toward us who are followers of Jesus Christ? What do you think is the devil's goal in tempting us? Let's reflect for a moment. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, what was his final instruction to his disciple? In Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus gave his disciples the instruction in reaching the world for them. And this is a command, not a suggestion. Since Satan failed in keeping us from receiving Jesus as our personal Savior, his strategy now is to contain us from fulfilling the Great Commission. So how does the devil prevent believers from going forth with God, with Jesus? The devil deceives us that the goal in life is to make a good living, a comfortable life, and a great retirement. He wants us to forget or reject the call of Jesus to deny ourselves and take up the cause of the cross and just concentrate on making a good living. That's his goal. Keep us from fulfilling the commission that God wants us to fulfill and making a living is good. But that is not the end. It is a means to an end. For all believers, our end is to fulfill the mission to make disciples for Jesus and to help people to be saved. I believe it is for every believer to pray to God to how he or she can take part in fulfilling the Great Commission. For some, it may be serving in church, or giving, or praying, or sharing the gospel with neighbors and friends. And for others, it may be to become a pastor, or minister, or even a missionary. And it is not for us to think that these responsibilities belong to somebody else, and not to you and me personally. And I challenge you to present yourself to God, to ask him to use you as his instrument for salvation, to wherever he needs you, to be in the Bay Area or elsewhere. If you are serious and mean what you ask, you may be surprised by what the Lord will do with you and for you. Some of you may be called to faraway places if you are willing to offer yourself to God. I almost miss God's blessing until I answered Jesus' call when I was 59 years old. I almost missed it. So I'm not as great as what Peter was saying about me. And God enabled me to go, led me. I didn't want to go there first. Led me first to Argentina in South America, and then to China, and then to Laos, and then to Thailand, and finally to CCCC in Cacho Valley. And God's grace enabled me to serve in the mission field until I was 80. Yes, God will protect and guard you the way that you should go. He will strengthen you to resist temptation that Satan hurls at you. And there will be purpose and meaning to your living. And God wants people to be saved. God wants to use you and me as his instruments to accomplish God's will here and everywhere to save all who are willing to be saved. Will you be willing to rise to the challenge to offer yourself to God, to be used by God? Will you be willing to be God's instrument wherever you are and wherever you go? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, speak to us. Help us not to fall into Satan's traps. Help us not to see that life is all there is in this world. Help us to lift up our eyes to see eternity. That real life, eternal life, is with you in heaven. So help each one of us to accomplish what you have intended us to do in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.